This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Our next question, we have Brother Ibrahim from Myanmar. MashaAllah, Tabarakallah, is very happy to receive this email. I did not know we have viewers watching from Myanmar, which is the technically correct term for Burma. We ask Allah to facilitate and make it easy for all of our Muslim brothers and sisters in Burma and Myanmar. As we know, they're going through a lot of issues. Brother Ibrahim emails a very, very beautiful question. And it was so moving, I thought I would just read all of it, that all of these questions are related to charity. Brother Ibrahim says that when we give sadaqah, must we verbalize the intention? And there are many types of sadaqah. There's fidya, there's kafara, there's salah, there's sadaqah, there's zakah. Which of them is the most beneficial? And he says, when I give, is money better or food better? Or how about helping somebody out? And he also asks, what are the additional steps we can take to derive the most benefit out of charity? And then he asks the final question, is that when we give charity, what should our intentions be? Can we intend that we want something of this world as well from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or must we intend only for the next? And it would be problematic to give something for this world as well. I.e., what he means by this is that, what if I give charity and I want to, protect myself from evil? What if I give charity and I want to cure a sick one? What if I give charity and I want more wealth? Is that going to harm the purity of the intention?
وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ.
So all of these questions, mashallah, tabarakallah, deal with the reality of charity and how to maximize this, the impact of charity. And I want to just point out that, mashallah, tabarakallah, our brother Ibrahim is really thinking deeply about this issue, and you can tell he's like deconstructing every single aspect. He wants to, and he's eager to gain the maximum reward. And for me, inshallah, this demonstrates, inshallah ta'ala, a good heart. And it demonstrates that indeed our brother is upon, the right path to get the maximum reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in terms of the specific questions he's asking. So he says that, must we verbalize the intention? And the response is that the verbalization of intentions, it is something that, generally speaking, the sunnah has not come with. The only time that the sunnah has come with verbalizing the intentions is when we go for hajj. When we go for hajj, we say labbaik Allahumma labbaik out loud. And we make dua to Allah that, oh Allah, make this hajj or umrah, both of them are the same in terms of verbalizing, make this a hajj or an umrah in which there is no showing off, in which we are doing this for your sake. We say that, oh Allah, I am intending to do hajj. Oh Allah, this is an umrah for your sake. Oh Allah, this is tamattu' or ifrad or qiran. Otherwise, for every other deed that we do, the sharia has not come with verbalizing the intentions. And therefore, it is best to avoid doing this. There is no need to verbalize. Allah knows what is in your heart, right? Allah is the one who is alimul ghaybi wa shahada. And so, I know some of our scholars and some of the madhabs, they want you to verbalize, and they think that by verbalizing, you are purifying your intentions and you're focused on what you're trying to do. I understand that philosophy. So they say, when you stand up to pray, say, oh Allah, this is 2 rak'ah for tahiyyatul masjid, you know, that's sunnah, that's for your sake. Oh Allah, this is 4 rak'ah, salat al-dhuhr, you know. So you are focusing on the intention. I understand where they're coming from. But of course, the flip side is that you don't need to verbalize to focus on the intention. Allah knows your intention. You are standing up to pray dhuhr or two rak'ah, tahiyyatul masjid, whatever it might be. So there is no need to verbalize the intention for any deed. Allah knows your intention. Yes, you must have the intention, but there's no need to verbalize it. Our brother then says that there's so many different types of words mentioned in the Quran. And in reality, fidya and kafara and others, these are technical terms that you only need to do when you have done a particular, penalty. So fidya, for example, if you are in the state of ihram and you break one of the rulings of ihram, you pay the fidya. So the fidya, for example, it's not done any day of the week. It's done as a penalty. The same goes for kafara. That kafara is only done to make up a penalty. For example, if you make a qasam to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then for whatever reason you have to break the qasam, then you will pay a kafara. So, fidya and kafara are both technical charities, technical sadaqas that you only have to give if you have done something that necessitates it. Otherwise, these are terms that the average person every day does not need to do. The term, our brother says also, sadaqah and zakah. And in this case, the term sadaqah and zakah, this is one of those terms that really confuses a lot of people. Let me put it to you this way, very simplistically. Sadaqah and zakah, imagine you have two Venn diagrams, okay? So what you have is that there is an overlap between these two Venn diagrams, and there's an area where sadaqah and zakah are the same. And then there's an area where zakat is separate and sadaqah is separate, okay? So two Venn diagrams and they're overlapping. And in the middle, sometimes when you use the term sadaqah, you mean zakah. And when you use zakah, you mean sadaqah. And there are other times when the term zakat takes on another meaning and sadaqah takes on a unique meaning. So what does all of this mean? The Quran uses the term zakat and sadaqah to imply charity for the sake of Allah. So for example, إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ. So in Surah At-Tawbah, Allah says sadaqah is for 8 categories of people. And Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ. Those that are constantly giving, zakat. In both of these verses, Allah Azza wa Jal is using terms zakat and sadaqah. And in reality, each one of them is implying the opposite that most people understand from these terms. And they get confused. Because when you read the books of fiqh, they will say zakat is the obligatory 2.5%. And sadaqah is the voluntary. And this is correct sometimes. Sometimes the Quran uses the term zakat and it means sadaqah. Like for example, وَالَّذِينَ مِلِ الزَّكَاتِ فَاعِلُونَ. They're constantly giving charity, any type of charity. And in Surah At-Tawbah, Allah says that sadaqah is for 8 categories and He means zakat is for 8 categories. Okay? So, bottom line, the term zakat can mean technically that which is obligatory, but it can also mean all types of charity. And the term sadaqah technically can mean that which is not obligatory, but it can also mean that which is obligatory. Okay? How do you know all of this? How do you know? By context. You go to the scholars, you go to the books of tafsir, and then you see, when is zakat and when is sadaqah being used under which term. And in reality, the context is very, very clear. Nobody gets confused in terms of the language of the Quran and Sunnah. So just keep this point in mind. Our brother is asking what is the different types. So now you understand fidya and kafara are technical types of charity that you must give as a penalty to make up something that you have done. And sadaqah and zakah, as I explained, that there are technical definitions and then there's linguistic. And technically, zakat is the obligatory amount you have to give once a year, 2.5% on the amount that you have above the nisab. And sadaqah is anything that is, above that amount. And yet the Quran uses both of these two terms for each other. Our brother also says, what form of charity is the most beneficial? And then he gives examples, giving money or giving food or helping others out. And the response is that the most beneficial form of charity is that which is going to help the person the most. Overall, the most beneficial charity is that which will benefit the person in front of you the most. So for some people, giving food is the best charity. For others, giving money is the best charity. For others, giving of your time, of your effort, of your, you know, somebody needs a ride, somebody needs your car, and you say, khalas, I'll take you, no problem. Okay? For some people, smiling, our Prophet ﷺ said, smiling is charity. Time is charity. As he said in one hadith, pouring your bucket of water into your neighbor's bucket is an act of charity. So there is no one charity that is, everything is underneath it. No, the charity that is the most beloved to Allah is the charity that is the most beneficial. And this varies from circumstance to circumstance, and the sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the actions of the righteous before us were to diversify one's charity. And this is something that unfortunately not many of us think about. When we think of charity, we think of writing a check and that is it. And in reality, that is but one form of charity. There is charity that is beyond this. Charity of your effort, physically doing something for somebody else, right? Literally standing up and going somewhere and helping somebody out. There's charity of your physical strength. There's charity of your status, can you believe? So if you are a person, you know, of fame, of respect, and, you know, you have connections, and somebody needs halal help, no problem. It's nothing, you know, you're not doing a bribe or something. Halal help. Our Prophet ﷺ encouraged this. The Quran encourages it. وَمَنْ يَشْفَعْ شَفَاعَةً حَسَنًا. Whoever does a good shafa'a. And a good shafa'a means you use your connection for something that is legit. We're not talking about using them for illegitimate, for a good connection. Somebody needs a job. And, you know this brother is qualified. And you know the CEO of the company, okay? And you call him up and say, "Akh, you know, I know this brother. He is a trustworthy brother, right? And I know him, and I encourage you to look at his resume." This is a shafa'a. This can be charity. And subhanAllah, if you help this brother, you know, get on his feet and get a halal job, and he helps his parents and he gets married, this is the best you can. He doesn't want your check, this brother. He wants that connection that you might have that he does not have, right? So my point being that there are different types of charity, and so you need to look at what is going to be the maximum benefit and then do that. And also realize as well that yes, it is true that certain types of charities, you know, there are certain ahadith about them. And so try to diversify. Don't just do one thing. For example, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in particular, he encouraged the helping of the orphans, right? And in particular, he said that when a man came to him and said, "O Messenger of Allah, my heart becomes hard." So our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Go and feed a hungry person and wipe the hair of or the head of the orphan." Means hug the orphan. Love is charity, dear brothers and sisters. Love. So loving an orphan, okay? Showing that orphan, you know, the orphan does not have a father figure, and you become a part of that person's life, and you are there. So look at what he said. Give food to the hungry and wipe the head of that child. Imsah ra's al-yateem. Why? Because that yateem, what he's missing the most is the love of a father. And so if you step in and you take on a fatherly figure, that is charity. You're spending your time and your love and you're showing your dedication. So diversify. You're just like, you know, the income, you know, analysts, the wealth generators, they tell us to diversify our investments, right? Invest in this stock and invest in mutual funds and invest in real estate and invest in this and that. They say, don't put all your eggs in one basket. So we as well, when we invest for the sake of Allah, we don't want to invest in only one. We diversify because we do not know which dua of which brother will be the most beneficial for us. We want to do as much as possible. And we build, for example, one of the best charities is to build water wells, right? This is something that was very common in the Muslim Ummah. Throughout our history, one of the most significant charities that was always done is to have a public water source, because everybody will benefit and they will thank you for it. Just have a, you know, in those days they didn't have running water. So people would have a well, they would dig it, and then they would just leave it there and say, "Waqf. Fi sabilillah." Anybody can drink from it. So much so, our Prophet ﷺ even said that if a bird or an animal drinks from that water, you will get the reward for it. So these are things that we should think about, diversifying our charity, making the maximum amount of benefit, and also for the longest time. So you're saying, which charity is the best? I said, that which is the maximum benefit. And also, that which goes beyond one instance in time. So the longest impact to the greatest amount of people, that's what you should be thinking about. And so having a charity that is perpetual, it's called a waqf, is better than a one-off charity. And a simple example is, as I explained, building a well or constructing something that people can benefit from for longer generations, for multiple times. And that's going to be considered a charity. So that was the question about which form of charity is the most beneficial. Now a brother says as well that, what can we do to derive the most benefit from our charity? And subhanAllah, that's a very deep question. And I must say that, you know, I don't recall anybody's asking that question to me anytime before. And mashallah, this is a brother from Myanmar emailing, mashallah, tabarakallah. And he is saying that, okay, we're giving that money or whatever, but I want to have, you know, as we say here in America, the most bang for my buck. I want to have the best barakah in my charity. And I say to this brother, you know, you've already begun that journey by this question. The very fact that you are asking from the depths of your heart and you want the charity that you give to have the maximum impact, inshallah, that is the beginning. Because إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, that actions are judged by intentions. Don't look at the quantity of what you're giving. Look at the quality of when you give it. And we have over here the beautiful example in Sahih Bukhari of the lady of ill repute, right? Of a lady whose lifestyle was to seduce other men for the sake of money. And that lady, we don't know her circumstance, but it is clear that, you know, she had very difficult circumstances. And so she was doing what she was doing. This is not to justify, but it is clear that Allah forgave her for something, which indicates that she has a positive side as well. What did Allah forgive her for? We all know the hadith. She was charitable to a thirsty dog in the summer day. She was thirsty herself and she's looking for water and she sees a well and the dog is outside of the well panting because it doesn't have access to the water. And so she goes into the well, she drinks herself, and then she takes her shoe and she gives some water to that dog. And the dog is also a creature like we are creatures. And the dog needs water like we need water. And she had in her heart ikhlas that only Allah knows. Subhanallah. Look, this was a lady of bad character who is feeding water to the dog. Don't look at the charity. Don't look at the quantity. Don't look at the one doing. Don't look at the one whom it is done to. A lady of ill repute doing this water, giving this water to the dog. Don't look only at one thing, the quality of the heart. Subhanallah. All of these factors of the story became irrelevant. And what mattered was the quality of what she was doing in her heart. And Allah forgave her whole life sins because of that one act of charity. So you have already begun this step when you ask, how can I maximize it? By your intentions, number one. Number two, another thing that maximizes it is to be consistent in your charities. To be consistent. Allah says in the Quran, talking about the people of Firdaus, talking about the highest level of Jannah, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ, those that are constantly giving charity. Okay, so do not just give one off every few months. Try your best to do small acts of charity continuously throughout the year, if not daily. And remember, charity doesn't have to be money. It can be good attitude, smiling face. It can be a good word. It can be helping hand. So consistency in doing small actions. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the most beloved of all deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that which is consistent, even if it is small. So that's the second way to increase the maximum benefit of charity, is to keep on being charitable as a lifestyle constantly. And whoever is charitable by heart will find ways to show that charity in the daily life. And then the third thing that we can say about maximizing the benefit of charity is to give charity in secret. To give charity in secret. Our Prophet ﷺ taught talked about the seven people who will be sheltered on the Day of Judgment, and one of them is a man who gives so secretly that his left hand does not even know what his right hand is giving. And the meaning here, don't advertise your charity. It's not wrong to tell other people, but try your best to have a lot of secret charities. Not even your spouse, not even your parents. Quietly give. In fact, try to give so that the one you're giving charity to does not even know who you are. Go to that level. So these are the three things that I advise you if you want to maximize your charity. First and foremost, your ikhlas in your heart. Secondly, consistency. And thirdly, secrecy. And the final question that you had is it okay to intend something of this world, or will that diminish the reward? And the response is that it will not diminish the reward if you give charity in order to gain something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world. It's not going to diminish the reward. Why is that? Because the very fact that you are linking a good to Allah, and you are saying that, oh Allah, I'm giving, you know, this money, oh Allah, ask that you protect me. Oh Allah, I'm giving this charity, oh Allah, cure my son. Oh Allah, I'm giving this charity, give me more in this world and the next world. As long as you are linking it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not going to diminish. Because, dear brother in Islam, you have to realize one thing. You are not dealing with a created entity that is going to be stingy and miserly. You are dealing with the Khaliq, with the Rabb, with the Rabbul Arsh. You are dealing with the Kareem. Allah is Al-Kareem, and Allah is Al-Mannan, and Allah is Ar-Razzaq. And Allah gives and gives and gives, and Allah does not count. So, do not presume, a'udhu billah, that there is any stinginess. There is no stinginess. Allah is not stingy. Allah is the most generous. And Allah loves generosity. So, when you give, expect the rewards of this world and expect the rewards of the next. How do we know this? Because, dear brother in Islam, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam literally linked charity with so many blessings of this world. We can go on and on. There's many lectures about this, and every fundraiser that we attend here in the Western world, we know these, you know, from our memory, we know them, right? Our Prophet ﷺ said, give charity to cure your own sick relatives. Dawa mardakum sadaqat. So if your child is sick, we are encouraged to give charity for your child. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, you know, when we give charity, you know, we will get back more. This is in the Quran even, right? We will get back more in this world, you know, before the next world. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam swore by Allah that when we give charity, our money will not decrease, it will rather increase. So, why did he link all of these worldly blessings with charity? He never once said, by the way, he never once said, you know, if you want, you'll get your reward in the hereafter. And if you want, your son will be cured because of charity. He didn't make the either or. He explicitly linked the giving of charity with blessings of this world. As does the Quran, by the way, right? Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran that Allah blesses sadaqah. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions in the Quran, who will give unto me a beautiful loan, and I shall return it multiple. فَيُضَاعِفَهُ لَهُ أَضْعَافًا كَثِيرًا. Allah will give it back much, much, much more. Why is Allah telling you that He's going to give it back much more? Because see, here's the point, dear brother in Islam. How can it be evil or negative to want this world from Allah when you give charity for the sake of Allah? Because you are demonstrating your iman in Allah when you say that, oh Allah, here is my wealth to that poor person. Oh Allah, give me back more wealth. You are demonstrating you believe in the promise of Allah. In fact, and let me finish off with this point. I know your time is almost up here. The term sadaqah in the Quran, it literally means the proof of your belief. That's literally the meaning of sadaqah. So, we all know the term sadaqah Allahu al-Azim. We all know Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Sadaqah means to believe. Sadaqah Allah, Allah has spoken the truth. And the term sadaqah with a ta marbuta, which implies the charity that we give, The term sadaqah comes from that same root to believe. Why is the term for giving our wealth linked for the same term to believe? Here's the point. When you give money expecting Allah to give you back more and to help you in this world and to protect you and to lift His anger from you and to bless your wealth and to cure your sick, you are showing Allah through your money that, oh Allah, I believe in your promise. I believe. I don't have any proof. I cannot see it. But I believe when I give $1,000, I will get back much more in this world and the next world. And so, literally, as we say in English, you know, put your money where your mouth is, we say this, that's what sadaqah does. You put your money where your iman is. How can it be evil? How can it be negative? How can it be diminishing of your reward when you are telling Allah through your actions that, oh Allah, everything that you mentioned about charity, I believe in it, and here is my money. So there is nothing wrong. In fact, this is the essence of Islam and Iman. In fact, this is why we have been encouraged, motivated, incentivized to give charity for the blessings of this world. Because in order to get those blessings, we have to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, dear brother in Islam, give and give charity and keep on giving and give for the sake of Allah and give sincerely and give continuously and give secretly and give all types of charity and expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you with every blessing of this world and every blessing of the next world. And with that, inshallah, we come to the conclusion of today's Q&A. I'll see you next week. Until then, jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وحملته في فلكك المشحون يا من أحال النار حول خليله روحا وريحانا بقولك كون